May it please the Court, good afternoon, Your Honors. I just want to raise 3 points this morning in the limited time.
I'm troubled by the notion that an issue which is barred, is untimely, can be brought in by this mechanism. It just doesn't seem to me to make a lot of sense that Congress would want to allow that to happen by the joinder mechanism, where you have a party who's time barred and is raising a new issue, and that person can be brought into the proceeding by the joinder mechanism. It really just doesn't feel right.
Respectfully, Judge Dyke, that is exactly the scheme that Congress promulgated in Section 315.
315. Why would it want to do that?
Well, I can speculate why they want to do that, and I'll get to that in just a second, but I just want to make clear that the time bar is in 315B, and 315B concludes with a sentence that says expressly that the time bar does not apply to motions for joinder filed under 315C. Now, why they would want to do that, Judge Dyke,
But the question is, what does that language mean? And addressing what that language means, we have to make some inquiry into what the congressional purpose might have been.
Fair enough. I think the language about whether or not the time bar applies to motions for joinder is not really controversial. 315B says expressly it does not apply to 315C. 315C is where we find joinder. Why Congress wanted to give an exception for joinder, I suspect, is so that when a patentee sues somebody for infringement, there's basically a one-year period where that infringer can hail that patentee before the PTAB and raise an IPR. If that 1 year goes by under 315B, that petitioner cannot hail that patentee in front of the PTAB for the first time. If somebody else brings the patentee into the IPR, to the PTAB in an IPR, then I also don't think it's controversial that the patentee, that the bar that applies as against the petitioner would no longer apply.
Well, I think that's fair enough to say that if there's a proceeding pending and an untimely petitioner wants to join the proceeding, that should be allowed. And that seems to be what Congress intended. But what seems strange to me is that new petitioner who would otherwise be untimely can add new issues to the proceeding. Why would Congress have wanted to do that?
Well, I don't think I can speak to that, except at least one member of Congress, Senator Kyle, actually said in his statement that he believed that this could be used to bring in new issues. But I also think the text of the statute is what gives us the answer here. 315C does not just require a party come in and ask to join, but it requires a new petition, a petition that the director has to decide warrants institution of a proceeding. Judge Dyke, if there was no way to bring in a new issue, there would be absolutely, positively no reason for Congress to...
Is this a new issue? It's one that was before the IPR that was rejected as a grounds for initiation.
Well, Judge Rayner, we would call it a new issue because it had not been instituted previously, but I think your question speaks to a different issue in this case, which is the board's discretion. The board decided that it was reasonable to bring this in here because, Judge Rayner, of that exact point, that this was already in front of the board. It had already been raised by the petitioner.
That's a really narrow interpretation, and I'm closer to buying that than the larger interpretation where someone can come in. Doesn't appear that you have any discretion as to whether you're going to allow joiner. It says shall not apply to a request. That means, if you show up, you have very little discretion when you're going to permit to join or not, but to bring a new issue at that time, and I believe that's what you're arguing or saying, correct?
No, Your Honor, I would disagree with you.
That's kind of what I want to get to, and this, I believe, is what Judge Dyke is asking about. Certainly, you can't have a situation where you're allowing parties to join and they're bringing new issues, especially issues that have already been rejected.
Well, we have other mechanisms to deny parties bringing in issues that have already been rejected. As to the question about the discretion in 315C, it is hardwired into the statute. The statute says that the director, in his or her discretion, may join as a party.
What was the discretion here? What's the reasoning? Why did you permit this joinder?
Well, Your Honor, I believe the PTAB permitted it, if I may continue.
Go ahead.
The PTAB permitted it here because it did not, it was not unfair to subject the patentee to this issue when it had already been raised in the first instance. And the technicality that led to the problem was the lack, not of a translation, but of a certification.
It's your technicality.
Absolutely, Judge Rainey. It's our technicality, but we also have discretion about whether or not we want to look around
it. What kind of uniformity or certainty do we have in that where the PTAB can look at a prior decision and say, well, we don't like that. Let's jump back in there and change that.
Yeah. Well, how does the director choose which judge to assign to expand the panel?
But that's provided, Your Honor, by our standard operating procedure, and the chief judge actually makes that decision, and the judges are selected based on their technical and legal competency. And over the years, many, many panels of the board have been expanded. In fact, if you looked at the 30...
Are they selected or whether they're going to rule us in a certain way?
Well, people can be placed on the panel. For example, the director can place him or herself on the panel, and certainly the director knows how they're going to rule. NIDEC has not said, and they say at their blue brief at page 43, that they don't challenge the independence of these judges on this panel. These judges were not selected and told to make a particular decision. If judges could be told to make a particular decision, there'd be no need to expand the panel in the first place.
But there was no objection below to the expansion of the panel.
That's correct, Your Honor. So we would say that they've waived that also, that they've waived this entire issue. I just want to get back just for a second, if I might, Your Honor, about the discretion issue. If you look at the times this issue has come up, and I would direct the court's attention to page 40 of our brief, where we lay out several examples of where the board has entertained these sorts of petitions, and I'll raise another one here today. It's a case called Amneal Pharmaceuticals versus Endo. In that case, the petitioner came in after the time bar with two new issues. One new issue had been triggered because the patentee amended their complaint in district court to add a new claim, a claim that had never been asserted against that petitioner before. And then another new issue that had been joined by the petitioner in their second out-of-time petition was something that corrected a sort of flaw in reasoning that they got out of the first institution decision. The board granted that second petition in part. The board said it's fair to bring in this new claim because you were never...
Well, maybe that's because the new claim should be construed to be the equivalent of a new proceeding. New infringement proceeding. I mean, you know, you can work that under the language of the statute. What's troubling is we're talking about claims that were asserted before and where the bringing in of the new claim by this petitioner or by some third party is untimely.
Respectfully, Your Honor, I don't think that we can parse out second petitions based on which claims were asserted in the first lawsuit based on the statute. The statutory one-year bar is based on an assertion of infringement under the patent. It served with a complaint that you're infringing a patent. It doesn't matter which claim is asserted. It triggers the one-year bar.
It doesn't matter. It's a distraction.
Well, but Your Honor, I think it does matter for the purposes of demonstrating how the discretion works sort of on the front lines at the board, that they don't simply let petitioners file follow-on petitions all the time and let them get in. Each time they use and exercise the discretion committed to the agency in 315C itself. And as to the new issues, Your Honor, I would just say again that the ability to raise new issues is suggested expressly by the statute when the statute commands the director to make a determination about whether
is
that...
So part of that determination, does it include due process considerations, the effect on the existing parties, and whether they've had adequate opportunity to respond?
That's exactly the kind of things that are considered when the exercise of discretion is triggered under 315C. How long has it been? Will it slow the proceeding down? Is this something that the petitioner is doing to essentially harass the patentee by getting the first decision out of the PTAB, fixing up the petition?
Yeah, but the decisions here and in Target sound very much as though there's no concern about the fact that the time bar is being evaded by this mechanism of joinder.
Your Honor, the time bar isn't being evaded by the mechanism of joinder for the simple reason that the time bar does not apply to joinder. Congress put that in 315B.
Well, maybe. That's the question of how we construe it.
And in addition to the time bar concern, which I share, I have an additional concern, and I think you may have addressed it in full, but let me re-say that you have a process. The PTAB process, in my view, has to operate in a way that creates uniformity in your procedures. Mm-hmm. And here you rejected a prior art reference, and then later you allow it to come back in. And I mean, it's as simple as saying you're giving two bites to the same apple to some parties, but not to everybody, and you get to decide who gets the two bites, how big of a bite, what kind of apple, the whole thing, and it's not open. What is open is that when that prior reference was initially brought, and it was brought defectively, and it was rejected. And I would have affirmed that rejection, and now to bring it back alive and well, there's no way for me to review that. So,
and let me add, what bothers me is the metaphysical concept of a party joining it. So it seems like you have Schrodinger's party or Schrodinger's cat as a party, and at any given point, when you look under the cover of the litigation, it is or it isn't. And only the director, or the chief judge, gets to decide that. And nobody knows. Since the essence of the law is predictability, I find that bothersome.
Your Honor, as to joinder, we agree that there's such a thing as there's such a thing as party joinder and issue joinder. Those are treated distinctly in the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure, Rules 18 mm-hmm. and 19. This statute is different. It's ambiguous. It says joinder. It does refer to joining another party, any person, but it also talks about the need for a new petition. So for those reasons, we'd say it conflates the two issues. Going back to consistency, Judge Reyna, there's two issues. The one issue is the consistency of a panel reconsidering its own decision. That's what happened here, and we would submit that's what happens all over administrative tribunals. There's another issue of consistency, which is the ability of the management of the agency to control consistency from case to case through the mechanism of expanding
panels.
I
agree with that. And the where I began to depart from that is whether a due process concern pops up. And it's here. I'm not sure it's a glaring problem here, but it's enough to it emits enough light to for me to make the comments to you that I have and to have the concerns as I've expressed them to you.
I understand, Your Honor, and the I think as best I can tell the court, and I don't know that this will be satisfying to you, but the judges listed on the opinion are the judges who made that decision without any influence. I can say that because I know that. And I can also tell you that when judges are added to panels where they do exert influence, their names are on the panel. The PTAB expanded a panel in a case called Master Image that's cited frequently in front of this court, and you will look at that expanded panel and you will see the acting chief judge's name on that panel. That's because that acting chief judge influenced the outcome of that decision by being a member of the panel and discussing it with those panel members. Here you will not see that, and that's because these five judges are the sole five judges who made this decision.
All right. Thanks for that explanation.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Cohen.
Thank you.
Yeah, let me just add one thing, and that is, as Judge Reyna said, I recognize the need for consistency. We do that by going in bank. It's also a principle of predictability. It just is a bothersome way of doing it.
And we think the way to ensure predictability by continuously making sure the law is resolved the same way is a feature of our system and not a bug of our system. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.